Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh are developing cutting-edge technology that could restore movement for people who have suffered spinal cord injuries, amputations, or have diseases that affect muscular function. 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed reports scientists are not only sending information from the brain to robotic limbs, but also from the limbs back to the brain.
Remember that scene in Star Wars when Luke Skywalker's hand is cut off during a lightsaber fight with Darth Vader? Then he's fitted with an electronic prosthetic hand that works the same way a real one would.
He thought, I want to move my arm. He moved his arm.
That's Michael Boninger, vice chair of research in the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at the University of Pittsburgh. He's also principal investigator on a study that could one day lead to a futuristic prosthetic like Skywalker's.
We're trying to figure out how best to tap into existing brain signals in such a way that we can understand a user's intent and then use that intent to control devices to allow for greater independence.
Technology allowing people to control prosthetics with their minds is actually not new, and it's being studied and refined at research institutions all over the world. At Pitt, Assistant Professor Jen Collinger is focused on figuring out how to use brain signals to control movement of a robot arm.
So when you think about performing a movement, your brain actually activates in the same way as if you were moving your own arm. And so we can take advantage of that. We have sensors that we implant into the brain where we can pick up that movement that you're trying to perform. And using that pattern of activity in your brain, we can turn that into a control signal for the robot.
But there's one big problem that makes controlling a robot arm with your mind difficult. You're not getting any sensory information back. It's hard to know how much pressure to put on an object, and visual cues only help so much. So now scientists are trying to send sensory feedback to the brain with the help of a man named Nathan Copeland. In 2004, Copeland was driving home in the rain when he lost control of his car.
I was almost home, too. I was like 2 miles from home.
He suffered a spinal cord injury and is now paralyzed for the most part from the neck down. He has some control of his arms, but not enough to be fully functional. I first met Nathan back in October at the Frontiers Conference co-hosted by Pitt, Carnegie Mellon University, and the White House. It was a showcase for cutting-edge scientific research, and Copeland was there to demonstrate how Pitt's robotic arm works.
I've been just taking it day by day. The study came along. I thought it was a good chance to give back to the world.
For the past year and a half, Copeland has been working with the Pitt team to help test and refine their technology. He's got 4 microelectrode arrays implanted in his brain, 2 in the motor cortex, which controls movement, and 2 in the somatosensory cortex, which processes sensation. Assistant Professor Rob Gaunt works on the sensory side of this technology, and he shows me the arrays, which are about a centimeter square.
On the back side of this, if you hold it and sort of rotate it around, you can see 100 little needles sort of poking out of the backside of that device. You have to look pretty close.
Are you serious? There's 100
yep.
there?
Yeah. Yeah, they're about a millimeter long, and they're about the thickness of a human hair.
These arrays, implanted in Copeland's brain, make him the first human ever to feel something he's not actually touching.
There's about 4 or 5 different sensations that I can feel. So the most common is like a pressure or a tingling. Sometimes it's like warm. There's one that's really weird and hard to describe. I just call it spidey sense. I can really just tell that something has happened. I can't tell you really where or what it feels like. Just every time it happens, I can tell.
Think about this. He hasn't been able to use his arms or legs for over a decade, but now he can once again feel the touch of another person. So we shook hands. He had a strong grip, but he had kind of toned it down. And then we gave each other a fist bump.
That's President Obama speaking at the Frontiers Conference an hour or so after he and Nathan met. A few weeks later, inside a small room at the Rehabilitation and Neural Engineering Laboratory on Fifth Avenue, Copeland is thinking about grabbing each of the 4 objects announced by a computer.
Marshmallow.
Each object, an orange, a can of soup, a marshmallow, and a tomato, requires a different amount of pressure. This isn't part of the experiment, but it's required to get ready for this day's experiment. Collinger says they have to retrain the computer every day.
What is the relationship between brain activity and movement? Because that actually changes from day to day. The cells sort of change what they're doing. So even though the whole group of cells is still telling us about movement, what each one is doing is actually a little bit different from day to day.
Collinger says that's one of the main hurdles to getting this technology out in the world to help people with spinal cord injuries or muscular disorders. Right now, they don't actually know how long an individual pattern of cell activity lasts.
They have to calibrate every 4 hours. That's probably too much for somebody to do at home. If it's once a day, maybe that's a little bit more realistic.
Another huge problem, says Gaunt, the large clunky cables coming out of the back of Copeland's head.
That's not a solution, right? This is a temporary thing that we need to do this research right now, but that has got to go away. We can't send people home with those things.
Gaunt says, ideally, this technology would be wireless. He says there are several research institutions and private companies all over the world working on that exact problem.
I think, actually, there's a lot of optimism that within a couple of years, these devices really will achieve that wireless capability. But these are hard problems. These are the types of things that have never been done before in terms of putting wireless devices in the human body.
That's what science does. That's what American innovation can do. And imagine the breakthroughs that are around the corner. Imagine what's possible for Nathan if we keep on pushing the boundaries.
Now, the robot arm being used in this research is vastly different than the lifelike prosthetic Luke Skywalker was fitted with in The Empire Strikes Back. But researchers say that technology is on the way. What was pure science fiction in 1980 when the film came out is now just science in 2016. I'm Liz Reed, 90.5 WESA News.